the truth, and the life. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can fall on your face and pray. Hey, you can pray all day. You can pray all night. But if you ain't praying through the Lord Jesus Christ, your prayer ain't getting through the ceiling. All these folk, they'll fall down out in the street somewhere and go into their prayer rituals. Hogwash. It's hogwash. One God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And I want you to focus now. Think about it now. The faith of the Son of God. Let's look in Hebrews chapter number 11 right here at faith defined. Faith defined. How do you define something that you can't see? Hebrews tries to get it to us right here in verse number 1, where he says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith defined. I'm talking about a total belief and a total trust upon the Holy Word of God and the Holy Son of God. And that's where it said our faith is based upon this book right here. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God. I've never seen heaven. But I believe there's God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the eyes of faith, I've seen Him. Through the eyes of faith in this book right here, I've seen Him. I've never seen heaven. But through the eyes of faith in what God says in this book right here, I know there's a heaven. Through eyes of faith, I know there's a hell. Through eyes of faith, I know there's a devil. And listen to me, it's so important. Faith defined. He says right here, he speaks about a substance. Faith is a substance. A substance is something that's real. It's something that's genuine. It's something that's undeniable. If you take this pulpit right here, it's something that's made out of wood, a substance of wood. And yet the Bible tells us that faith is so real that it's a substance of something that we hope for. Faith is this genuine. Faith that can't be denied. Faith is something that you ain't turning your back on. You're going to stand upon. It's a substance of things hoped for. And it's all through the Word of God. And he says this, it's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things that's not seen. I can't see it, and yet it's evident to me that God's Word's true, that it's real. How do I know? Because He come to me one day, He convicted me of my sins. And the devil says, you'll never get saved. You've gone too far. You've done too much. And yet when I called out to God, He saved me. He saved me. How do I know? Something happened within me. God moved in, and He's been there ever since. I've done wrong. I've failed. I've come short of the glory of God, but He's always been there to convict me, to correct me, to encourage me, and help me down life's way. There's an evidence within me that I can't see and you can't see that's real. It's my faith. And if you've been saved, you have that within you. I'm glad that there is a substance of our faith, the things that's hoped for. Three key words in this verse is substance and evidence and hope. Evidence is unmistakable. Evidence is unchangeable. It never has and never will fail, this faith that we have. And he says hope. The hope that we have. It's real hope. You can't see hope. But we have that hope. Because God gives us that hope in His Word right here. All the great promises and things of God is real. It's not wishful thinking. It's something that's genuine. Genuine, and it'll never change. God's Word will never change. It is our confidence. It's our assurance. It's the reality in our lives. Faith. Ain't you glad you got faith? Ain't you glad you had faith enough to call upon God one day? Ain't you glad you got a Bible? I'm talking about the Word of God. We take it for granted a lot of times, Brother Ken. holy men of God spake is they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not something man come up with. This is the Word of God. It's a holy book. It's a precious book. And you ought to thank God that you've got a Bible to look at and read and know what the mind of God is for you and me in our lives. What a precious book we have. Faith defined. But notice this, faith distributed. In Hebrews 12 and 3, the Bible says that God hath given to every man a measure of faith. Ain't that amazing? You know these little children downstairs? You can tell them about Jesus. You can read a Bible story to them. They have no problem. They have no problem accepting that. God's given them a measure of faith. I remember when I was a little old kid, we had a picture Bible at home, big family Bible, and I'd thumb through that thing, and I'd look at the pictures about the stories. And I remember seeing David and Goliath in a picture there. Man, it was real. It was real in my heart. I had no doubt. It was a measure of faith, I believe, that God gives to every man, woman, boy, and girl when they're a little child. Faith defined. Faith distributed. Ain't you glad that God does that for you? Amen. Gives you a measure of faith. But then faith distributed, then faith developed. Here's something we need to really take heed to. The developing of faith. Mamas and daddies, listen to me now. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, doesn't it? Amen. Your little child has got a childlike faith in God. Now it's your responsibility to help them develop that faith as they grow up and grow older. It's your responsibility. It's not necessarily the preacher's responsibility or the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's mama and daddy's responsibility. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help them to grow up and to grow into Christ, to be convicted one day and saved from their sins. You're accountable for it. For developing that faith that God has placed within them. Notice this in Romans chapter number 10. Also, Romans chapter number 10 says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Faithfulness. Did you know faith produces faithfulness? Did you know the Bible says to examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith? Now, if you realize your responsibility of raising your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, God requires faithfulness. Faithfulness. Your child needs to see faithfulness in you. Even grandma and grandpa. I'll hit everybody right now. It's our duty as Christians to be faithful. And if we've got genuine faith, if we've genuinely been saved, then we ought to be faithful. Lord, help us. The devil wants your children. He wants your children. He wants you distracted. He wants you unfaithful. And if he can get you out of church, if he can get you where you just hit and miss every 6 weeks or a month, or you know, ever so often you decide, well, I believe I'll go to church today. That ain't the way it works with God. He requires faithfulness. And the greatest responsibility that you'll ever have in your life is a child. It's a child. It ain't your job. It ain't your bank account. It ain't nothing. It's your responsibility to see your child raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you're going to have to be faithful in some things to do that. First Timothy 5 and 8, I want you to see this. First Timothy 5 and 8. He says, But if any, provide not for his own. And especially for those of his own house. Listen carefully now. I think this applies to daddies more than mothers. If any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, or household, family, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel, and worse than an unbeliever. Strong words. God's words. Your children grow up. They go through school, and the things that, you know, the learning that they go through, they walk out the door one day and they're out on their own. And God says, if you hadn't provided, I ain't talking about food. That's a whole nother thing. I'm talking about spiritual things. Seeing that that child's raised at the house of God and the things of God applied and demonstrated in their life. God says, you're worse than an infidel. That's strong words, ain't it? In other words, you're a sorry rascal. You're mighty low in God's eyes. God loves little children. They are the heritage of the Lord. And if God gives you a child, I think he's saying pretty plain here, you better take care of that child. You better raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because I'm going to hold you accountable. It's you. It's you. Daddy's first. And I know there's a lot of single parent mamas that's raising children. And you'll have to do it yourself. Get them to the house of God. Faith defined, faith distributed, faith developed. But then there's faith defended. The book of Jude. He has this to say. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You see right here, he's speaking to saved people, to sanctified people, to the servants of God, to the soldiers, as Paul would say. He's speaking to us, to earnestly contend for the faith. It's a call to defend the faith. In other words, what he's saying right here, no compromise. The faith of the Son of God, there's no room for compromise. And we live in a day of compromise and counterfeits all throughout our country and land. Devils filling pulpits, damnable doctrines being taught from pulpits all over this country and land. You ought to thank God. You ought to fall on your knees every day and thank God for Liberty Baptist Church and for a pastor that stood for 32 years preaching the truth to your children. I guarantee you there's plenty of devils out there that love to lure them into a false doctrine, into a false belief, and see them die and go to hell. Amen. It's a call to defend the faith, no compromise. And it's a call to deliver the faith. See what he said right there? Which was once delivered to the saints. Brother Ken, we grew up. We heard the word of God. We get saved. And we grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and the things of God. We grow up, we grow old, and we get out. But it's our duty to deliver this same faith of the Son of God to the generation coming behind us. And pass that mantle, pass that duty on to them, that they'll preach and they'll teach and they'll raise their children at the house of God, and not let them die and go to hell, but want to see them saved. It's a serious thing. I'm talking about faith defended. It's a call to defend. It's a call to deliver. But it's also a call to discern. Notice what he said in verse 4. He said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Unawares. They done slipped in. The Joel Osteens. And there's a list a mile long of them. They've slipped in. Let me tell you something. Just because a nice, beautiful building's got a steeple up on top, it don't make it a church. It's a call to discern. He says, hey, they've crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a call for us to discern the apostates, the heretics, the devils, the demons. The Bible tells me that the devil has disguised himself as an angel of light. Just because they dress up real pretty and get in a pulpit and have an eloquent speech, never stammer, never stutter, don't mean they're telling you the truth. It better line up with this King James Bible right here. Look at this in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," and we're in the latter times, "some shall depart from the faith," listen to this now, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Notice it didn't say that they would depart the church, but they would depart the faith. "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, leading to compromise and corruption, and corrupting people's minds and hearts, and leading them to hell." And Jude's telling us here, we better be able to discern them rascals. People are easily led astray, ain't they? Easily led astray. That's why it's so important for us to get this Word of God settled in our hearts, be able to discern truth. Lastly, this. Not only faith defined, faith distributed, faith developed, faith defended, faith demonstrated. Faith demonstrated. Wonder what people seeing in our lives. As the book of Hebrews goes on in chapter number 11, the Bible says, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death. By faith Noah, he was warned of God. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith Abraham, he went out not knowing where he was going, but by faith he went out following the word of God, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God." You go on through this chapter. By faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses. Go on all the way down through here. Some of these people right here, a lot of them messed up in life. But by faith, they kept on going. By faith, they could find forgiveness and mercy and go another mile. Some of these people right here, if you read on down through this chapter, they were tortured. They were sawn in two. All kinds of torment and things that they were, but they would not deny their faith because they knew there was a better day coming. This Muslim religion, I don't know if you remember, a few years back, there were about, I think, 20 men on their knees, Muslims standing behind them, about to behead them. Did you know that they could have denied the Lord Jesus Christ? These were Christian men. They could have denied Christ and say, okay, I convert to Islam. They could have got up from there and walked away. But they refused to deny their Lord. And they were beheaded that day. And let me tell you something. That's what they want to do in this country. It's exactly what they want to do. See, their religion is not by faith. Their religion is by force. If you want to even call it a religion. All these things are written in the book about these people right here, their faith. They lived by faith. They died by faith. The disciples told Jesus one day, Lord, increase our faith. Boy, I want my faith to be increased. It was said of old Stephen, right before he died, he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'd love to have that testimony left behind in my life. Old Brother Mike Rollins, oh, he was rich, he was famous, he was governor, he was president. No, no, no. I'd rather people to be able to look back at me and say he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. What a testimony. Faith. Well, I'm supposed to teach Jamie's Sunday school class Sunday morning. I had something I was going to tell in there, but I'm going to tell it in here so all y'all can hear it. Talking about faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard something probably, I don't know, it's probably been close to 50 years ago, Brother Ken, I heard a mountain preacher on the radio preaching. He had revival going on. It's up in the mountains. I don't remember if it's North Carolina or Virginia or somewhere up in there. But he said he had an evangelist in. They preached every night. And he said, small country church. There was a little old lady. She'd been a member of that church since she was a little girl. They lived a couple of miles on the other side of the mountain over there. And she was the only one left in the family. And said, every night she'd get in the altar praying. And he said he'd seen her in the altar, you know, at the invitation. And he knew she was saved. He didn't know of any problems she was having. But he said the last night it really bothered me. He said I went down there and knelt down and I wanted to pray with her. And I asked her, I don't remember what he said her name was, but he said, sister, said, anything I can help you pray about? Is there something wrong? And she said, well, preacher, said the Bible says if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it'll remove. And she said, I'm getting old now. She said, I have to climb that mountain to get to church. She walked. And she said, I've been doing it, you know, since I was a kid, but said, just climbing that mountain, I'm getting old. Said, I just don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to make it. So I'm praying God will move that mountain. He said, it just floored me. He said, stunned me. He said, I didn't know what to say or how to, you know, comfort her. Or he said, I just prayed with her, you know. Maybe that'll do. And he said, time went on about 6 months later. He said, that little old lady was at home one day and there was a knock on her door. Said, there was a man from the road, State Road Department, said, ma'am, said, just want to let you know you're going to hear some blasting and said your windows might rattle a little bit in your house, but just want to let you know that it'll be all right. Said, this old road out here, it was a dirt road. Said, we're going to be widening that road and we're going to knock that hill down going over the mountain right there. And he said, man, said she had the faith. He said, I didn't, but she had the faith. She trusted God to move that mountain. And a miracle through her little prayer of faith. The road department was widening that road, knocking that old hill down. And she was able to keep on going to church. That's a big God, ain't it? Now, he preached that as truth. And so long ago, I'll never forget. Mountain moving faith. You got mountain moving faith? I remember when I got saved, I didn't have much faith, to be honest with you. I didn't know nothing about God and the Word of God, but I knew I was lost. And I heard that He'd save me. But you know what? There was a mountain of sin in my life. And all I had to do was ask God, would you have me? All that mountain of sin, He took it away. Took it away. That's what kept me going through the years. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate you being here. I hope the Word of God has helped you and encouraged you tonight. Dismiss us, Brother Seth. Amen. You dismissed.